Well, it is beyond wonderful to see you all here, especially the seniors and their families. This is such an important time for you as you look at the friends you've made, the things you've accomplished, the experiences you've had, the struggles you've survived, the ways you've changed, and the family that has supported you. We are part of that family too. I know that some of you, maybe all, were baptized here. Promises were made by your parents and godparents on your behalf. Promises that you would strive for good over evil, and that you would turn to Jesus Christ and put your trust in his grace and love. We made promises too, that we would support you, love you, pray for you, and be with you spiritually as you grow into who God created you to be. And as we promised, we knew it wouldn't always be easy for you or for us to keep those promises, but we made them anyway and asked God to help us to keep them. You are part of this family, and you will always be welcomed and loved no matter where your journey takes you. That is the promise we made. That is the promise of Jesus. And that is what has been promised and proclaimed here in this church in the name of Jesus, that what matters most is how we love. And that includes how we love you, just as you are. I was in Las Vegas last week for my grandson Luke's graduation from a large public high school. The ceremony was held in an indoor stadium in a casino. It was, after all, Vegas. And there were, of course, lots of speeches. Only one of the speeches was personal. The rest, both student and adult, were well meant, but laced with the uplifting cliches you would expect at a graduation. Now later, I asked Luke about the speeches, and without my prompting, he said that except for Cisco's personal speech about what it meant to be the first in his family to graduate from high school, he wished the others had been more personal, more honest about something real. He told me about a speech he had seen on YouTube where a valedictorian said to his class that he felt he had missed so much of what was important as he worked obsessively to win the top spot to become the valedictorian. He said that he had missed the fun, the joy, and the friends of high school, trying to be what he thought was expected of him, what he thought he wanted. But now, he said, he would not wish the loneliness of his last 4 years on any of them. Well, the honesty of that speech really got to Luke, and it helped him better understand and appreciate his own choices and the primary value he places on friendship. Honesty can do that. It can surprise us, even in a huge public gathering when the truth of a thing blasts open the heart. It isn't about the prize. It's about the people. Jesus is about the truth of the thing. Jesus is about the people, never the prize. In the gospel reading from Mark, Jesus is at the very beginning of his ministry, and people are flocking to him from all over. He can heal the sick and cast out demons. Every simple, anonymous, poor family without resources has loved ones that need help. The lame, addicted, blind, diseased, crippled, depressed, wounded, and dying. They push and shove their way to Jesus, full of emotion, a mix of hope and despair. Much like the way excited fans push and shove to get close to celebrities, this crowd makes it impossible for Jesus and his disciples to even sit down and eat. His family thinks he's crazy and have come to take him away. The scribes shout that he is the devil as they try to break up the crowd. His family and the officials all want order. I'm afraid we do too, much of the time. And the older we get, the more order we want. But Jesus didn't come to put things in order. Jesus came to shake things up. Walter Wink calls Jesus the great disruptor, the disturber of the peace. For Jesus, it is always about the people, not the institutions, not the rules, not safety, not appearances, not reputations. It is all the people, not the prize, not the form, not the family, not even the church. It is always the people. Near the end of this gospel, someone tells Jesus that his mother and brothers and sisters are outside asking for him. And Jesus replies, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Now, some commentators say Jesus is rejecting his family. I don't think that's true. He's expanding it. He may be rejecting the clannishness of family and the way families have of protecting what they love so much that they keep things small and safe and familiar within the bounds. And that is true of churches too, protecting what they love so much that they keep things the same, safe within the bounds. Jesus is not rejecting his family. Jesus is extending his family beyond tribe, clan, or blood. Jesus is extending it beyond race, class, gender, orientation, or politics. Jesus is extending it to that mixed crowd right in front of him, whose eyes he sees. Those who have come from all over, all different, all with needs, all real. And he's asking us to do the same. He is teaching us what doing the will of the Father means. Who will you see right in front of you? The world has changed radically in the last year and a half and continues to change at an unbelievable pace. The seniors here, they know that more profoundly than the rest of us. And change is a good thing. Changing who we see right in front of us, for instance. It is needed for us to heal and move forward. But as much as things change, some things don't change at all. The first unchangeable, unshakable thing is God's love for us, all of us. All at once. And the other thing that doesn't change is our need as human beings, as people, for love, for time, for truth, for acceptance, for belonging, for hope. That won't ever change. And as you, dear seniors, go off to college in this brave new world, I hope your family will expand and that the people right in front of you don't all look or sound the way you do. And I hope that you will go into lots of different buildings and not just the ones where the classes in your major are. And I hope you will yell at God when things don't go well. And I hope you thank God when they do. And I hope you think to ask God for help whenever you need it. I hope you will remember that people you don't even know at St. Francis Church are praying for you. I hope you will use the eyes of your heart to see others and lift them up when you can. Remember, it is always the people, not the prize. Amen.